Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
Theme that we're talking about now is different to make a difference. That means that God has given us his anointing. First of all, we are different. We've been born again. The glory of God and the presence of God has come in our life. And now, because God's presence is in our life, we now have his anointing, which is his power, so that we can make a difference for the glory of God. We define the anointing as the will of the Father, the word of God, and the oil of the Holy Spirit working in unison. And we also shared that every believer is anointed by God if they have come into the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to get away from worshiping titles and positions, but every blood-washed believer that's in Christ has Christ's anointing in their life and upon their life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians verse 21, in verse 22, it reads like this: Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership upon us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Did you get that? He anointed us, the born-again believers, those who have been established in Christ Jesus. Not only that, but he's put his seal of ownership on us. We are truly God's property. Today, I want to provide some faith disciplines relative to the anointing. These disciplines will aid you in learning how to walk with God in such a way that his anointing will flow freely through your life, that you will have a constant flow of maintaining a fresh anointing in your life, regardless of your age, regardless of whatever challenge you may be facing now, regardless of whoever may be creating some type of uncomfortableness in your life, regardless of people who operate in rebellion in and outside of the body of Christ. God has called those who are in Christ to live in the arena of operating in a fresh anointing. This new wine skin and new wine that Jesus Christ have given to the church is fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. And so the scripture tells us in Psalms 44 and verse 5, it reads like this: Only by your power can we push back our enemies. Only in your name can we trample our foes. What's that? A fresh anointing. That fresh anointing will cause you to be strong, that the enemy will not have place with you, and you will be able to drive him out. You will be able to cause every obstacle that he sets in your way to be removed. You won't climb mountains. You won't go around mountains. You will speak to the mountains and command them to be removed in the authority of Jesus Christ. And then in Acts 1 and 8, it said, But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into uttermost parts of the world. Notice, you shall receive power. The anointing is the power of heaven. Thank God that Jesus Christ, he gives us his presence, and his presence is always with us. As a matter of fact, if you don't have the presence of God, you don't have God. But the power of God will manifest in our life, and the power of God will come upon us at various times in order for us to accomplish a God thing. Well, Psalms 92 and 10 says this: But you have exalted my horn like the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Another translation reads like this: Your anointing has made me strong and mighty. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. Listen, it is the will of God for every blood-washed believer to know how to operate in a fresh anointing in their life. God don't want you to have a stale anointing. where all you talk about is what I used to do for the Lord and how the Lord used to use me. God is in the now. Faith is now. And in order to operate in the now, you got to operate with the fresh anointing. We're going to look in the scripture, and we're going to look in individual lives where this anointing was manifested, where God speaks about this anointing, and we want to learn what is necessary in order to maintain a fresh anointing in your life. Well, the first thing I believe is this: don't grow weary or impatient. One of the differences between King Saul and King David was David knew how to operate and flow in the anointing, and King Saul operated in a manner where he tried to force the anointing. When God's anointing is manifesting on your life, when God is manifesting that power of grace in your life, God don't have to force things to make them happen. You'll learn how to flow with the Spirit of God. You'll know how to discern the voice of God. You'll know the promptings of God's Spirit on the inside of your heart. In other words, you will learn how to relate and respond to God's anointing. Remember, it's God's anointing. It's not man's anointing. It's not manufactured by man. It comes from heaven. We can call it this. It's heaven's oil of the supernatural. Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Samuel 16. And we're going to look at the difference between King Saul and King David. Both of these men had God's anointing on their lives. So in 1 Samuel 16, it begins like this, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, this is Samuel the prophet, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. The question is, why was Saul rejected? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. We'll see why he was rejected. Begin at verse number 3. It says, now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, please take one of the servants with you and arise, go and look for the donkeys. His father is sending him out to go find the lost donkeys. He don't realize that while he's out obeying his father, while he's out just going about his ordinary day, God has a divine appointment for this man's life. And the scripture goes down, come on down to verse number 15 and 16. We're just going to go through some of this so we can see why Saul was rejected by God. The Bible says in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 9, now the Lord said, had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because of their cry has I come to me. Listen, God doesn't anoint you for you. God's anoint you so he can do something mighty in the earth, so he can bless his people. So often we talk about the anointing, and people think the anointing is something that they can go out and promote themselves. The anointing is so they can go out and make money. No. God said this man is getting heaven's oil on him because I've heard the cry of my people, my covenant people. Boy, you find a church praying. You find a church interceding. You find a church crying out for lost souls. God's going to release an anointing on that church. God's going to raise up people in that church that's going to have a heart for soul. They're going to say, I may not have the office of an evangelist, but I'm going to do the work of an evangelist. I'm going to go out and I'm going to reach people for the glory of God. Now come over to chapter 10. The Bible says, then Samuel took a flax of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find. So what Samuel does, he anoints Saul as the Spirit of God directed him. And he began to give Saul some different things that's going to happen to confirm to him that this is the Spirit of God. He's telling him, when you go to this place, this is going to happen. When you go to this place, this is going to happen. Now come on down to verse number 6. The Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord will come up on you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Boy, when that anointing falls on your life, listen, the anointing will come to convict us of sin. Yeah, that's when we get saved. The anointing of God will be there, and people will get convicted. Then the anointing of God, once we repent, the anointing of God will come in our life. We will become God's anointing. But then the third experience of the anointing is that God's anointing will come up on us at different times. And here Saul is prophesying. He's speaking by the Spirit of God, and the anointing is on his life, and he turns into another man. Doesn't mean he looked different on the outside. It means he's operating now in an arena he's never operated before in his life. He's learning how to relate and how to respond to the anointing. This is a fresh anointing on Saul's life. And the Bible says, let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifice of peace offering. Notice, Samuel the prophet, the priest, is given the one with the kingly anointing instructions. And he told him that he was going to go down to Gilgal, but he said, when you get to Gilgal, wait on the anointing that God has placed on my life as a prophet and priest. Because it's the prophet, it's the priest who offers sacrifice. So remember, Saul, when you get to Gilgal, don't get in the flesh. Don't try to force the anointing, but wait. Don't become weary, wait. Now look at verse 8, say, days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Come over to 1 Samuel chapter 13. We're going through some scriptures. I can show you why God rejected Saul. 1 Samuel 13. Look at verse number 8. It said, then he waited 7 days. This is Saul. Now remember, Samuel told him, when you get Gilgal, wait. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered a burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Notice, I felt compelled. One translation said, so I forced myself. Listen, when God's anointing come on your life, you don't have to force yourself. You don't have to force to do something for God. You don't have to force yourself to try to get a position in the church. You don't have to force somebody to put their hands on you. That's the flesh. And so Saul is disobeying the instructions of the prophet. Saul was not anointed by God to offer the sacrifice. Samuel was anointed by God to offer the sacrifice. And so many people are looking at other people anointed and want to be like them. Jealousy comes in. Could be right in the church doing a good thing and all of a sudden looking at somebody else. And they're in the flesh. Because if God's anointing is motivating what you are in your heart, it's going to be done by the Spirit of God, and you don't have to force it, and you don't have to create chaos in carrying it out. And in 1 Samuel 15, Saul, he messed up again. He didn't wait on God. He moved in the flesh. You see that in verses 17 through 23. Saul was rejected because he rebelled against the word of the Lord from the prophet Samuel. He did not follow the instructions of the prophet Samuel. Saul became weary and impatient. Saul had the anointing of a king. However, Saul moved out of his position into another man's position in which God had not called him to serve. We in the body of Christ have to be careful, because a lot of times we don't respect the anointing. A lot of time we think we can just do things, and just because nothing has happened, and just because we're seeing a little fruit, we're probably seeing a little fruit because we're children of God. You know, even in the natural, when you got children in your house, they may do some things, but there's certain things that they might not receive from the family, but they're still in the family. I don't want to be a child of rebellion. My parents had something great in store for me, but because of my rebellion, because of my disobedience, they couldn't release it on me. And I think that's what happened in the body of Christ. People do certain things, and because you're a child of God, yes, God's grace is there. He's going to still give you some fruit as a child, but I believe you're going to forfeit some things because you operated outside of God's anointing. Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel 16. Now we come down, we see where God tells Samuel to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons. We come down around to verse number 10. The Bible said, thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. Listen, when God has an anointing for your life, you don't have to force it. Just go about being faithful. Just continue to be in the backstage, doing what you're doing with the right heart. Hallelujah. Don't try to get on the front stage. Don't try to get in the lineup. Just keep being behind the scene. He's preparing you for something. And then in verse 12, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Now God didn't anoint him. Now I don't want you to think because of his looks. The writer's just giving us a description of it. God, he didn't receive that anointing because of his looks. He received that anointing because of his heart. People will look at stuff on the outside of a person and want to put them in places of position just because of how they look. Boy, that is so common. God is anointing David because David is a man after his own heart. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Now Samuel has obeyed God and anointed David as king over Israel. That anointing on David's life manifested in power. The anointing is the power of heaven. It is power over darkness. Now, when we come down to 1 Samuel, we come down to verse 14. The Bible says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling him. The Bible says in verse 21, so David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul said to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart. Man, when you got people anointed by God around you, it will bring a refreshing to your life. It will bring a refreshing to that ministry. It will bring a refreshing to that body of believers. When people are operating in the anointing that God has placed on their life and not trying to operate in somebody else's anointing. We've got to get this right in the body of Christ. In 2 Samuel 5:23, listen to this. Remember I say, don't get weary and become impatient. If you're going to have a fresh anointing, you got to know how to wait on God with the right heart, with the right attitude, and with faithfulness in your heart. So David is anointed at this point, but he has not been appointed at this point. There is a time between the anointing and the appointment. So in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we see the appointment. It says, so all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. When David was anointed by Samuel, he was a teenager. And now he's 30 years old and he's receiving his appointment. So for about 15 years or more, David had to learn how to trust God, how to go through trials in his life. He had learned how to walk in love. He had learned how to be on the run from King Saul, but yet respecting that God's anointing was still on his life. He didn't put his mouth on him. He wouldn't let others do anything against King Saul. All this was because he was being prepared for his anointing to fully move into it. So we see then that in order to have a fresh anointing, Don't become weary and impatient. Learn what it means to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he'll strengthen your heart. Waiting on God will bring strength in your life. Waiting on God will give you time for God to do other things that he's trying to accomplish in your life. The second thing we have to do, I believe, in order that we maintain a fresh anointing is, don't disrupt the flow of the order of unity. Number 16, verse 1 through 4 said, now Korah, the son of Ishar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on the sons of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses and some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. He didn't just get anybody to join him in the church. He got renowned people. He got well-known people. He got people with status to join him in this rebellion. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy. Notice, all the congregation is anointed. Praise God. All the congregation should be holy. But notice this undercurrent spirit here. Every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of God? Was Moses and Aaron exalting themselves? No. Who exalted them? God established them. God called Moses. God called Aaron. God gave Moses that anointing of a shepherd, of a deliverer. God gave Aaron that anointing of the priestly order. And here Korah, a Levite, has an anointing, has a place, but can't stay in place because he got his eyes on somebody else. And then the Bible says, so when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Come down to verse number 8. The scripture says, then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation? In other words, is that not enough? Do you not see the honor that God has already placed on your life? That you are getting an opportunity to have an anointing to serve in the tabernacle as a Levite? Is that not enough? You over here with a spirit of covetousness and jealousy? And then it goes on to verse number 10. And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi with you. And are you seeking the priesthood also? Moses discerned that spirit. There he was talking about all of God's people are holy or anointed. But Moses knew what was motivating him. He was seeking the priesthood. He was seeking to exalt himself. He was seeking to be like Moses, to be like Aaron. Couldn't stay in place. All right, it goes on. Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. Moses said, you're not fighting us. You're fighting against God's anointing. Therefore, you coming against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? Bickering, putting his mouth on Aaron. Moses discerning everything this man is doing. Now listen, he a part of the congregation. He's an insider. Did not Paul tell him in Acts chapter 20, when I leave, grievous wolves are going to come in to scatter the flock, to draw disciples after themselves, not only from the outside, but he said, even among your own people, even among your own church, there are going to be people rising up and trying to draw members after them. That's their spirit. That's their Korah spirit. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, but they said, we will not come up. Moses trying to give these men the opportunity to disconnect from Korah. He's giving them opportunity to come from under that spirit of influence. And it is a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land of flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us. Now what they're doing, they're complaining about the church. Moses, you're not doing it right. Moses, you're not getting us to where we need to be. Moses, you're not growing the church fast enough. Hallelujah. What they're doing, they're judging Moses. They're putting their mouth on Moses. Moreover, you have not brought us unto the land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us an inheritance of the fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. What they're doing, complaining against God's anointed leader, Moses. Moses being led by God. Moses got to do things at God's appointed time. Moses can't let them force him. And I'm telling you right now, that's the way you forfeit your anointing, when you try to force yourself into something. And then verse 15, then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them. Moses is being what? Acquitted before God. He said, God, don't even receive their offering. They're going to be offering up stuff to you, God, don't even receive it. And the Bible said, Moses said to Korah, tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord, you and they as well as Aaron. Listen, God is getting ready to do something. Come down to verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, said, separate yourselves from among the congregation that I may consume them in a moment. Boy, when people operate in this kind of spirit against the anointing, you better stay away from them. God told Moses and Aaron, separate. Moses tried to get those other leaders to separate themselves from Korah. He was trying to get them to, you know, to spare them from having that spirit of destruction to come in their life. But they wouldn't listen. But God told Moses and Aaron, you separate yourself from them. Why? Because I'm getting ready to deal with that spirit that's motivating Korah. And then you come down to verse 26. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men, touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. And we know what happened. Korah and everyone that joined in was swallowed up. They were destroyed because he broke against God's order of unity. He came against that order. Listen, when you are in a local church and there is the anointing in that church, you have to be careful that you don't disrupt the flow of that order. You don't cause disunity in that church, because God has that anointing there to accomplish his purpose and plan. And God's not going to allow any person, I don't care who they are, God's not going to allow a man or a woman, God's going to not allow a child to disrupt his purpose and plans in the earth. And so we have to make sure that we don't disrupt the flow of order in unity. I'm talking about how to maintain a fresh anointing on your life. The last thing I have is, don't dismiss the uniqueness of God's power. That's why you don't have to try to be like nobody else. God's anointing will manifest in your life and upon your life in such a way that God himself did decide the impact that that anointing will have on your life. And everybody's experience is different when they're moving in the anointing. When God's anointing come on your life, you may respond a certain way. You can feel that anointing. When I'm operating in the anointing, I feel that anointing. I've learned how to know when that anointing is getting ready to manifest over the course of time. At first, when God began to release that anointing on my life, you begin to question what God is you saying. But now, man, once you get trained in that anointing, you'll know when God is getting ready to do something. You'll know the train is coming before it get there. Before you hear the sound, you'll know God's getting ready to do something. Because it's a uniqueness about God's anointing. That's why you don't go trying to imitate other people. You see people doing certain things when the anointing is upon them, then you go and try to be a clone of that person. That's a dangerous thing to do, because all you're doing is mimicking in the flesh. When God's anointing is in and manifesting through your life, you just have to learn how to flow with it. And there's going to be a confirmation. The people are going to know that you are operating in God's anointing.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. Located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.